you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought in before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the entire debt. With that, the servant left and found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed. They went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant! I forgave you your entire debt because you asked me. Should you not have had pity with your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in his anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I mentioned on Saturday that Sunday we began the second phase of Lent, which is geared toward helping catechumens prepare for baptism, and all of us who have been baptized to ponder far more deeply the meaning of our own baptism. We had on Sunday that beautiful passage on which we could ponder the entirety of Lent, of the living water Jesus wishes to give us welling up within us to eternal life. That well that was drilled on the day of our baptism, that is meant to flow as a geyser, leading us all the way upward. Yesterday, if we didn't have the Solemnity of St. Joseph, we would have had one of my favorite passages, which is Naaman, and about how the Lord wishes to make us new through the waters that he gives us, the filthy waters of the Jordan, but no, the living waters from within, that he constantly wishes to give us a heart of flesh, that just as our heart can sometimes become leprous, the Lord wants to renew it so that it's like the heart of a little baby. And today we get what seems to be a lesson about the sacrament of confession and mercy in our life, but it's really tied centrally into the mystery of baptism, in which God the Father has given us unmerited mercy and abundance and wants our whole life to spread that mercy, that mercy is a well flowing up within us to eternal life, and we want that mercy to overflow like from a water hydrant. So we've got this scene of the two debtors and the setup for it. Peter asks the Lord, how often must I forgive? And then he comes up with a big number based on an interpretation of the prophet Amos, who suggested that we need to forgive three times. The Jews typically thought that you'd give somebody not a second chance, but she'd give him up to a fourth chance. But then mercy was over. Peter took that number of the three in Amos, doubled it and added one for good measure, came up with the biblical number of infinity, seven, the number of the covenant, and said as many as seven times. At a basic practical level, as I like to say, most of us would be heroic in comparison with so many others in the world if we gave somebody an eighth chance. As many as seven times, Peter asked. He was already being generous, but nowhere near as generous as God wanted if we're going to be as merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. If we're going to become perfect as He is perfect, if we're going to become holy as He is holy, if we are going to love as He loves. So Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 sevens, which could either be 490 or 77. It really doesn't matter because it's a multiplication of infinity by infinity. We've always got to forgive without limit, is Jesus' lesson. And then he gives this parable, which I think is one of the most under-commented ones, to look at the entirety of our Christian life. How fortunate we are, and how generous we're supposed to be with regard to others. And as you know, we always do the math. You probably know the math by now. That the first debtor owed not just a huge amount, but an astronomically huge amount. 10,000 talents. One talent was 6,000 days' wages. So to owe 10,000 talents meant to owe 60 million days' wages. Something that would be 164,274 years of work with one day off a week. Person would have to live 165,000 years working, just taking the Sabbath day off to be able to pay it back. And you've got the comedy of a person's falling down and saying, just give me time and I will pay you back in full. No. No way. You will never pay back in full. But Jesus says, moved with compassion. And I know that whenever you hear that phrase, you're having the light bulbs go off and say, Splunk needs oh my. God bursting mercy. Might make a good hymn sometime. Splantitsoma. Moved with compassion, the master forgave the entire loan. He just restored him. Again, if you make $12.50 an hour and you work 8 hours a day, $100 a day, he's just forgiven him $6 billion. Think about that type of remittance. And then he goes off and another servant owes him a much smaller amount, is the euphemism here. It's 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. If somebody were making $100 a day, we know that that would be much smaller. It's just 10,000. And he's just been forgiven 6 billion. And the 10,000 that he was owed probably came from the 6 billion he was given. When this man fell down and used the exact same language, just give me time and I will pay you back. Just be patient. Don't even forgive the debt. Just be patient and I'll pay you back. The man who has just had the biggest gift of his life ever given to him wasn't transformed by it, and he wouldn't even give this man time to pay him back. And this man could have easily done it. Instead, he throttled him, and you can see him choking him. He threw him into prison until his family got him out by paying the debt. And the first creditor was understandably outraged. And he said, you wicked servant. This is the real definition of wickedness. I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had had pity on you? Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had had pity on you? Say it a third time, because we never, ever want the Lord to say this to us. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I have had pity on you. One of the most important lessons we've got to get in life is to have pity on others as the Lord has had pity on us. And we've got to forgive our brother, Jesus says in the moral that he draws from this parable. We have to forgive our brother or our sister from our heart. We've got to have the own experience of Schleichnitzelmann, that with a heart moved with compassion, we don't just forensically eliminate the debt, grinding our teeth, resenting the fact that we kind of just had to, unless we're going to make the great creditor with a capital C angry at us, but to forgive from our heart, because having received mercy, we are to become rich in mercy and lavishly pay it forward. That font that overflows within, we're only being asked in some ways to let it trickle out toward others, but we have to let it happen. For us to grasp the meaning of this parable, we need two main things. The first is we've got to recognize just how great our debt is to the Lord. If we don't get this, we're not going to live it. That we haven't been forgiven just peccadillos, tiny itty-bitty little sins. We've been forgiven the crucifixion of God the Father's own beloved Son. We caused it by our own sinful deeds. And yet, out of love, he came down and he took our place on death row. We will never be able to ponder that enough. And it's not about how bad we are. It's about how extraordinarily generous he is. That no matter what debts we had amassed, he forgave our entire debt. He's made us so rich in mercy. That is the beginning of the font flowing from his open side that wells up within us to eternal life, that changes our leprous heart into like a little child's. That's the first part. Then we can look at whatever anybody else has done to us as small in comparison with that. No matter how big it is, and some of the times it is really big, we will meet people who make it their sole purpose of existence to persecute us. Jesus promised us that we will meet these people. If they hated me, they will hate you. Some of the times even family members will drag us, he says, before governors and synagogues and everything else. But in those circumstances, the Lord permits them to occur so that precisely we can become like him in forgiving, even when others are crucifying us. Even when, like with St. Stephen, people are stoning us, we're able to echo within this type of generosity and become more like God in the very practice of mercy than we would in any other occasion. How often must we forgive? 70 times, 7 times. When I was younger, I used to think that what this meant is, okay, I have to forgive person 1 and person 2 and person 3 and person 4 and person 5 and person 6. Yeah, it's part of it. We've got to forgive those who have wronged us. But normally the way the person, the Lord works this to help us to forgive infinitely is he takes somebody who has really hurt us, where that really annoys us, as if the person has a doctoral degree in relational torture, and plants that person right next to us. In parish life, God help us, some of the times the people were the worst gossipers, and the ones who you knew went throughout the entire community saying terrible things about you. Even in praise, because they just don't know what they're saying sometimes. And then that person clings on to you. God help you. Right there, can't escape. You've just got to make it a way of life that you've got to constantly forgive this person. Sometimes it feels like 70 times 7 a day. person's right there, constantly drawing forth, and we might just say, listen, I forgave once, I kind of wrote off the debt, why is this person still clinging to me? Nope, the Lord's going to help us to grow because we constantly cling to Him. We need to be grateful for those times because they're really extraordinary benefactors. We all know the story of St. Therese with the old sister in the Carmel. But because so many of you are dedicated to St. Therese, I'll use the St. Therese story. This woman who had made her life miserable, she just loved with mercy in such a way that not only did the woman feel like she was Therese's favorite, if only she knew, but she began to come out of her shell through that experience of mercy, that the other person was healed and began to grow. To have the patience with others and to recognize that they are, in a sense, paying back the debts they owe to us, by putting us in an occasion in which we grow to be merciful like the Father is merciful, that they are paradoxically paying us back by giving us a chance to forgive them over and 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 over again. Today's first reading, we see the real source of where we experience this strength that the Lord gives us to forgive, when the Lord is constantly giving us 6 billion more. It's here at Mass, which He gives us His body and blood for the remission, not just of the sins of the many, but for our sins too. In contacting this great gift, we learn how to do this in His memory. And that beautiful part of the Book of the Prophet Daniel, we see that prayer that the priest celebrates every day. In spiritu militati sit in animo contrito, sushupiamur te domine, et sic fiat sacrificium nostrum conspectu tu hodie, ut placiat tibi domine Deus. With contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today as we follow you unreservedly so that we might please you. The great sacrifice we bring to the Lord is our sacrifices made to forgive others as He sacrificed His Son to forgive us. This is what we do in His memory. How often must we forgive? As often as the Father has forgiven us. And we need to do so from our heart. And that's why in the Mass, the Lord gives us His.